Well, good morning and welcome to the Team Glacken Monday Morning Motivational Call. This is Senior Master Coordinator Jennifer Glacken, and I'm going to be your moderator and host for this morning's call. Every Monday, we come together to get our business off on the right foot, thinking ahead to the week or the month ahead, and in this case, the end of the month. We've got one day left in this month, and then we'll be in March, which I can't believe we're already that close to March. Well, we have a variety of different topics. We do product topics, we do business topics, we do personal development topics, and today we're actually going to do a continuation of the call that we started on Saturday. So for those of you who listened to the Saturday call, you know, we were talking about creating raving fans in our customer base. You know, how do you get your customers so that they're out talking about you to everybody else and that they're just raving about the service that they receive and raving about the products and you? And so what we can do on this call is we can actually have an interactive discussion about that and what that really means for your business and what it is that you can do that would go above and beyond to make that occur. So why don't we start there and let's start talking about what do you think of when you think of raving fans? What do you think of that are things that you'd like to do in your business to create raving fans? So who would like to go first?
Jennifer, it's Tina.
Hey there.
The first thing that sort of popped into my head when you said raving fans was people smiling. I don't know why, but that's what popped into my head, was people smiling. So I think, you know, providing, especially being in the wellness industry, you know, providing people with health is an awesome thing to be able to do. And so I think really just happy people, healthy people, that's what popped into my head. And so just educating them about the products that we have, why they're good for them, and creating happy people.
Okay, let's go one step beyond that. So obviously we educate them on the Shagway products. We educate them on better health. How do we get them to go out and talk about us? How do we get them to be so happy with the service that they receive that they're out there just telling everybody about you and about Shagway? That's the million-dollar question, right?
That is the million-dollar question. I think a lot of it is providing that customer service. As of late, I've had people say that they're missing that personal interaction. So that personal thank you note, that handwritten thank you note. This month, I actually got like some little heart, you know, those little like kind of confetti. Stuck them in the thank you notes, not like a ton of them because I know some people get annoyed by that, but just a few of them to just kind of be different and be, you know, heart health and Valentine's and all that. And I think, you know, just really creating for them that personal relationship that a lot of people are creating these days with all of the technology.
Yes. I think people are looking for a personal connection, and I think that is really important. And people buy us. They don't necessarily buy Shagway initially. Sometimes they'll come to an event, but they come to the event because of us or the person that invited them, right? Like they come because they're excited about whatever that person that has shared with them, whatever that person has really explained about what they're doing or just, you know, gotten them engaged. And so we have to go to that next step to get them thoroughly entrenched. And I think that with Shagley, we all know that the products are awesome. We know that they're the best products out there. And how do we... You know, that personal touch is critical, but how do we then transpose that personal touch into them being raving fans? You know, Tina, you mentioned raving fans to you meant, like, you know, people smiling and people who are happy, people who are healthy. Yes, and I agree with all of that. And when I think of raving fans, I think of people going out there with a big megaphone and just shouting at the top of their lungs, you have to buy Shagley, or you've got to get to know this person, or you've got to find out about what this company offers. And, you know, there's some companies out there that everybody's attracted to. And I'm going to throw out a couple of different names of some businesses here, and some of you might agree and some of you might not agree. I think there was a time when Starbucks was the thing to do. I'm not necessarily sure that it's the thing to do now, but I think that a lot of people really, you know, were excited to be a part of Starbucks, to go in there, carry that cup of coffee. Apple computers, Apple phones, you know, a lot of people are Apple people, and it's sort of a sign of prestige for them to have their iPhones and their iPads and their Macs. And so there's certain companies that have sort of created an image around themselves, and there's some companies that are very, very exclusive. If you think of the Tiffany, the blue box, you know, there's people who just absolutely love to get, they don't care what the gift actually is, they just love to get that Tiffany box with the white ribbon around it. And some of it is because the people who've received gifts or who've gotten things from those companies really feel like they've got a great quality product. But there's a fan base. There is a
raving fan base around some of those companies that just go out there and market the heck out of those companies for the company itself. And we want people out there talking about Shaklee. We want people to be raving fans about Shaklee. And so really, how do we make that happen? Yes, we've got to provide excellent customer service. Yes, we want to make sure that we are doing that personal touch to really connect them. But I think there's probably something more that we could all do. And I'm really trying to push us all here to be thinking, what more could we do? What is it that we could throw out there that's really going to engage those customers to go out and talk to other people? So what are some other thoughts?
Maybe the Shaklee difference, I think, is a great one.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, I think people are educated way more today than they ever have been about the health and wellness industry, but sometimes they're not educated to all of the regulations around the industry, which really are none, and so they assume that because the label says it has this in it, that it does, and that the government wouldn't allow those products in the stores if that wasn't true. And so really just helping them to understand, to be really one step further in their education about the quality of the products that they're buying.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when they believe in the quality of the product, hopefully that locks them into being a long-term customer.
I would have to say it's definitely when they've noticed a change in their own health that they will go out and tell anybody about it. In my case, my mother, who had lymphoma and was in August, could hardly stand up, and 2 months later after getting her on the protein shakes and taking the multivitamin, I mean, she is a completely different person within 2 months, and then now she's made a full recovery, and she's back to work. She's walking 2 miles a day, and she's promoting it to people in their stores when they're talking about their sinuses or this, and now that she's back to work, she's talking about it at work. I mean, she talks about it all the time because of the change it made in her life.
Outstanding. So, yes, so having a really good testimonial. So what I just heard in what you shared is that we have to help people have a really fantastic product experience.
Yes.
So think about that for a second. So how do we really help our people have good product experiences? Sometimes, you know, people buy a product and then we don't do the follow-up to even find out, did they have a good customer experience? Did they have a good product experience? Is it something that they would go out and talk about? So that follow-up piece to find out how they're doing is also critical with it.
Yes, and I know I have another one that I have followed up with regularly, but yet she doesn't use the product all the time. Like she's using the Life Shakes, but she doesn't use them all the time. And then she purchased the 180 starter kit, yet she's not eating snack bars. She's not following the program. So it's not technically working for her. So she really doesn't promote it much because she's not using
exactly
it the way she should be. So it's
right.
Hard.
Well, she's not getting the results.
You can't beat it into them to, hey, take it the way you need, you know, use it the way it's supposed to be used.
You know, yeah, we can't beat it into them, but I think each time that we
right
talk to people, we've got to just keep educating them. I have a gentleman who started the products probably 2 weeks ago, and all he wanted to start out with was the meal bars. So he started doing the meal bars, and he calls me and he says, well, I'm not losing weight. And I said, well, tell me how you're using the meal bars. And he was using them as snacks. So he was adding extra meals in each day.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. So, yeah, no wonder he's not losing weight. So then we, you know, walked through the program again, and so then he ordered smoothies. So then he had smoothies and meal bars so that he could do the two meals a day. But he didn't get snack bars, didn't get the metabolic boost, didn't get the tea. So each time I've had a conversation with him, so actually this, I saw the order come through, I think, on Thursday for snack bars, and then I was doing a follow-up call with him on Saturday, and we were talking about the tea, and he's like, okay, I've got to get the tea. So finally he'll end up with the whole program, but, you know, I think it's us staying on top of them and just continuing to re-educate them. So if they say, you know, something is not working for me, okay, well, let's talk about what are your expectations, what do you want to have happen from the program, and then the only way that's going to happen is if you use the products properly, and then let's go through those products again. You know, that you can't beat it into them, you can't force them to buy it, but we can keep educating them so that at least we've done our part. But, you know, when you just said a second ago, you said, so you've got two examples. You've got one example of somebody who's had major, major health changes and who has gone out and just become a raving fan, and then somebody who has not had a product experience and they're not out there being a raving fan. So I think that is actually a really important piece of what we're looking at here is that we've got to help people have that good product experience. other thoughts around creating Raving Fans? I mean, we can continue with this piece of the conversation about with the testimonials, or maybe you've got some other thoughts on really how do you help create a Raving Fan?
Hey, Jennifer, Sharon. You know, I think part of it for me is I'm watching people. A lot of it, you know, kind of like the example just there, right? When you tap into people's emotive place where there's a deep need or solve a problem or something, you, and then they see results, that emotive place really draws better fans and better people. Where there's so many people that in health and all this stuff, so often, unfortunately, they have this guilt, you know, or these negative feelings around it, which are terrible, and don't motivate them to go anywhere because they're stuck. They just want the least little bit of, you know, something. They want something, but they're not really ready to fully commit. And so in asking those questions to really find the places of need in them, I think is a place that you do create those Raving Fans. And, you know, this is kind of a different example, but even just the small details are really helpful. I had a brand new customer got the turnaround kit, and the order was wrong. And they sent two chocolate, and they were supposed to send a vanilla and a chocolate or whatever. So I had called to follow up and say, hey, did you get your product? Everything okay? Oh, yeah, I haven't used a shake, but I got this wrong one. I said, okay, well, I'll take care of it. That was that. I called field support and got her shipped a new one. I called her back, and I said, hey, new one's on its way. She was like, oh, my gosh. She goes, thank you so much. That's awesome. I said, you can keep the chocolate and try it if you want, or give it to us. We'll eat it, you know. And those small details I've seen a lot of results in as well.
Well, and that's the customer service piece, right? You took care of a problem before it became a really big problem. Like, she wanted the vanilla and the chocolate, and so you made sure she got the right order. Very, very important to do. Very important. And you also said another key thing. You're tapping into people's emotion. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. We've got to get into their heart. When people work from their heart place, they are going to be Raving Fans. You know, you think about anything that you've gotten emotional about, anything that you've gotten super excited about, it comes from the heart. It's the emotion behind it. It's not the intellect. You know, it's not, you know, oh, I think this is great and I think I should talk about Shackley. No, it's about, oh, my gosh, I'm so passionate. I've got to go tell everybody about it. And so we really do have to tap into people's emotion. And when people have a great product experience, it's easy to tap into their emotion, especially if it was some major, major health concern that was improved upon, or, you know, somebody's so stressed out and they can't handle their stress and they take the stress relief complex and all of a sudden their stress is under control. You know, things that are visible, things that they can see, you know, people losing weight, people improving their health. You know, we've had a lot of people on the team who have gotten off of medications because of using some of the products, and those people tend to be Raving Fans about the products. So what are some other thoughts about creating Raving Fans?
Hey, Jennifer, I was just thinking we have to be Raving Fans ourselves if we want to create Raving Fans.
Very good point. Very good point.
Ingrid Bergman.
And so how are we
Raving
Fans?
Thank you. Right. No.
Okay, just this. Do you want to watch
it? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we have somebody talking in the background there. So how do we become Raving Fans? When you say that, Tina, obviously we all use the product. I think everybody who's on this call uses the Shackley products, is in love with the Shackley products. So what would you suggest we do for ourselves to become Raving Fans?
Well, I was thinking even from a business perspective, because I think we want Raving Fans for both ors, right? So we want Raving Fans for the product, and we want Raving Fans for the business opportunity. But I was thinking, like, being excited and, you know, even if you're not, you know, one of those blue people that's out shouting all the time, I think just really being passionate and proud when you are talking to other people about the products or about what the products can do for them or what the opportunity can do for them, and not being afraid and believing in the network marketing industry and being bold and courageous and proud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really important, right? The proud part, when we're proud of our products and our industry, we stand taller. It's that confidence that we come in with. And so making sure that we do come with a piece of confidence is important.
Hey, Jennifer, it's Laureen.
Hey there.
Good morning. I just wanted to share one thing about creating the Raving Fans, and you've been so instrumental this past week, because it's something that I've been really lacking in, I do get the customers, but because I'm so business focused, I haven't really created the balance around both, which I'm working on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I met with somebody yesterday, and it was kind of pleasure slash let's see if it ends up into a Shackley conversation, because mm-hmm. he lives in Atlanta, and I was, you know, looking to see where he was at with the product. He's been on the Life Strip and Nutriferon for about 6-7 months, but we don't talk about it too much. But he did make a comment yesterday that he's been on a really tough schedule, and he's feeling pretty good. And I asked him if he thought the strip has anything to do with how he's feeling. And he said yes. And I said, do you have any idea what you're taking? And he said no. So we went through what was in the strip, and I could completely see a shift in his connection to how he was feeling and what he was putting in his body. So that was a really good experience for me to, in the education process, I think I tend to promote a lot but not really educate people on what it is that they're taking. Just kind of like, oh, do you have this? Then you need this, but not really explaining how it works.
Really important connection for you. Really important. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Well, you know, it's each one of these steps, right? It's we've got to, you know, in our Shackley business, we go through these stages of learning how. First, we've got to learn how to talk about the products. We've got to learn about the products. We've got to learn how to share the products and go through the sales cycle. As we go through the sales cycle, we've got to learn how to do the follow-up. We've got to learn how to communicate the Shackley difference. And so there's a lot of different stages. And I think it's important no matter where you are in your business, if you go into the business thinking, I want to create raving fans, I want customers and business partners who are all just standing on the rooftop shouting about how awesome Shackley is and how awesome the team is and wanting to be a part of what it is that each and every one of you is doing. If you think of it that way, you're going to go into your business differently. You're going to talk to your customers and business partners differently. You're going to have a different energy around helping them solve problems or challenges. I can't tell you how many times I'll be talking to a distributor and they're avoiding handling a problem. So, Sharon, like the situation you had where your customer got the wrong product, you know, getting the two chocolates instead of a vanilla and a chocolate, you know, that's solving a problem before it becomes a big headache or before it becomes a big disaster. And sometimes distributors who are newer tend to walk away from that. They're nervous. Well, what do I do? What if the person doesn't like it fixed? If they don't like the product, then you exchange things. But I think it's so often we're afraid of what's happening or what's going to happen, and we avoid it. And that is not going to solve the situation, and it's also not going to help your customers become raving fans. So what are some other thoughts about becoming a raving fan? What are some other things that you're thinking about in the back of your head of things you could do or things that could go above and beyond to make you really stand out in the marketplace? I know we've got lots of great minds on the phone here. So I'm sure
Jennifer, I have a more of a question in reference to this.
Okay.
And I don't know if this applies to anybody else, but, again, because I've had the business focus, I haven't really gotten into a heartbeat of maybe, you know, having a breakfast with some of my customers and introducing new products or, you know, just having a cup of coffee, you know, to see how they're doing and if I can help them answer any questions. Like, it's not something I'm versed in.
Mm-hmm.
So do you do, like, customer appreciation events or anything around outside of what you shared the other day, which I thought was impeccable on the Saturday morning call? Because to me, you summarized it in such an impeccable way. Like it's so doable the way you presented it the other day. Like I can relate to that on classifying your customers and then acknowledging them. But do you do anything above that when it comes to groups of people that are your customers?
Yes, I have over the years. And so for the people who've lived in the Chicagoland area, a number of us would get together and do some customer appreciations a couple of times a year or once every few years. It just depended on how much effort and energy we wanted to put into it because they tended to be really large events. But we got a group of distributors together. And what we did was actually kind of fun. We went around and we found massage therapists who were trying to grow their business, who wanted to give away free massages to get their name out into the marketplace. We found nail technicians who were willing to do, because they were trying to build their business, they were willing to either do nails or do, you know, hand massages or quick manicures or something like that. And so we would set up. We would maybe get a church location or wherever we were able to find some space, and sometimes we did it in people's homes. And we would have our customers come, and they would get pampered. And so we would have the massages. We had the nail stuff. We had I can't even remember all the other things that we had, so if there's any Chicagoland folks on the call here that remember some of the other things we had. I know we gave away flowers when people would leave. We would have flowers that we'd hand to them. We would do, you know, Shackley samples of snack items. One year we got a big chocolate fountain, and so it was like a chocolate fondue fountain, and so we had all sorts of desserts that people could sample. You know, we tried to pamper our customers, and we would give them a little gift bag of samples and things when they left. And it was really just designed to say thank you to our customers. So you can do customer appreciation, things like that. We also used to do product fairs where we would have people come in and we would talk about the different products. And so you could have, you know, maybe if you use somebody's home, you could have four different rooms set up and you'd have each product line in a different room. So the customers would walk through. And so when they come into the kitchen, maybe that's the Shackley 180. And so they'd learn about the weight loss. They'd go to the next room. Maybe the family room is about nutrition. Maybe the dining room is about get clean, and, you know, another room is about the skincare, and then maybe you have another room that's about the business. So we always put the business in there, but it was really more about, you know, getting the customers to use more products. So there's lots of different options, and once again, I think that goes back to something that Tina said earlier when she said about the personal touch. You know, it's about that personal connection, and when you have events like that, people see you in person, they get to hear you speaking, they learn more about the products. You know, the in-person things are far better, in my opinion, than doing just things over the phone or the webinar. But obviously, it's about the number of people you can get to an event. And so, you know, even if you just did a morning coffee or a breakfast or a brunch, you know, I've had people do that for Earth Day before, having an Earth Day brunch and, you know, inviting people over to learn about whatever the new Earth Day product is. And just so you guys know, there will be a new Earth Day product, and that's all I'm going to tell you, but there will be a product coming out right around Earth Day that's a really exciting product. And it's not going to be something that you would expect, so that's all I'll tell you. But, you know, just to have an event where you could launch a new product or that you could talk about things. So, Lorraine, I don't know if that completely answered your question, but yes, there's a lot of different things that you can do from a customer service and a customer satisfaction perspective, and really from just to appreciate them, to tell them that you care, that you really do appreciate their business. Because when you think about it, everybody who's buying every month, that's a big part of our volume. That's a part of how we're getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to say thank you. We want to acknowledge that. And we also want to acknowledge, you know, something earlier, and I don't remember if it was Tina who said this or if it was Sharon that said it. You know, we're educating people on the Shackley difference. And so, you know, how do we educate people on the Shackley difference? Well, we've got to be in communication with them. We've got to share with them, you know, why are they using these amazing products? And we've got to get them entrenched. So there's a lot of different things that we're trying to do when we're developing our customer base. It's not just let me go sell a product and let me move on. It's, okay, I've got to sell a product. I've got to get that person entrenched in Shackley, get the Shackley difference into them, and then let them know how much I appreciate that they're staying with the products and how that's helping their health. So.
No, that did help a lot. That did help a lot.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. So who else would like to add something about creating raving fans? Anything else that you're thinking about doing in your business to create raving fans?
Hey, Jennifer, this is Tina. Something that popped into my head, too, is in the tickle system. Sometimes if I learn something about the customer, I'll try and write that on their card. So I had one fellow who was a huge Cubs fan, and so when the Cubs won the World Series, there was like this little magazine that had pictures and stuff, and so I just popped that in the mail to him and said, hey, isn't that great, the Cubs won? And so just trying to kind of anything personal, because I can't remember it all, so I try and write it on the little tickle cards so that maybe I can come across something to help them feel valued that way.
Very important. And yes, I mean, when you do that, Tina, you're building your business for the long haul, because if you're trying to remember everything about everybody, you'll never do that when you have 4,000 or 5,000 customers. And so I want everybody to think now, you might only have 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 or 50 customers right now, and you might be thinking, oh, gosh, I can remember everything about everybody. But as your business grows, you need a system in place that's actually going to grow with you and grow with your business. And so you want to make sure that you set yourself up for success. So just remember that as you go forward, you know, writing everything down on those tickler cards is really important so that you can remember it. You know, there's going to be so many things that come up. And what a great idea to remember something about him that was very unique and personal. And he probably really appreciated that you remembered that he really liked the Cubs. I've done things like that before. You know, I had somebody who really loved skiing, and I was out somewhere, and I saw these note cards that were ski. There was really cool ski pictures on the front of it, and so I bought that box of note cards, popped it in the mail, and just put a little note on it that said, I know you love skiing, thought these note cards might be something that you could use in the future. And he was just thrilled that I remembered that he liked to ski. You know, our customers, they just like to be appreciated. And think about how you feel if somebody remembered something unique and special about you and actually maybe got you a little gift around it or got you, you know, just acknowledged something. Cutting something out of the newspaper even. I've done that for people. I'm in a networking group, and there were this one guy, his daughter won an award, and she was in the newspaper, and I cut it out of the newspaper just in case he hadn't gotten a copy of it from the newspaper or if he wanted an extra copy. Those are things that are going the extra mile, and it really is what attaches your customer to you. So as we wrap up the call here today, I'm just going to remind you again of the book I mentioned on Saturday. If you haven't read Raving Fans by Ken Blanchard and Sidney Bowles, I would highly recommend it. Quick read, and if you have read it before, read it again. You know, it gives you those extra little nuggets. You'll come up with some new ideas just by rereading it. The Fred Factor by Mark Sanborn. I still kind of get blown away by that book just because of the fact that it was about a postman, and everybody always wonders, you know, how in the world could a postman be unique and different? And this postman is. And so I think in our Shackley business, if he can do it as a postman, we can absolutely do it as Shackley distributors and as Shackley business leaders. And then the last book was The Contagious Book by Jonah Berger. And, you know, just how do we get Shackley to be contagious? How do we get Shackley to go viral? You know, these are some of the things that you can just, like, plant little seeds in your head and let your subconscious go to work on helping you figure out the answers to these questions. There isn't a right or a wrong for customer service. There isn't a right or a wrong for creating Raving Fans. But it is something that's important for the long-term health and viability of your businesses. You need a really solid customer base. And so every customer you get, if you keep that customer, then you have a better chance of, you know, that long-term viability. If you constantly have people becoming customers and then leaving, and you know, they buy for a couple of months and then they never buy again, and you're constantly reinventing your business, you're starting all over again, why not just keep everybody that you have? Why not just have every single person that walks in the door stay with Shackley long-term? And when you create a Raving Fan, when you invest in them, that's what's going to happen. So as you go forward into this week, I just want you all to remember to be thinking about how to create a Raving Fan within your organization and in your business. When we talk next week, it will actually be March. So have a fabulous end of the month. You've got 1 day, 2 days here, today and tomorrow, to finish out the month the way you want to finish it out. So if your numbers aren't exactly where you want them to be, get them where you want them to be, run to the finish line, and then we'll talk to you same time, same place next week. Have a great Shackley day, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.